the hour of 8 o'clock a.m. Having arrived, the Commission on Government Forecasting and Accountability will come to order. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Co-Chair Belloc?
Here.
Senator Frerichs?
Here.
Representative McCarthy? Senator Murphy? Representative Nekritz?
Yes.
Representative Poe? Representative Riley?
Here.
Senator Schmidt?
Here.
Co-Chair Schoenberg?
Here.
Senator Severson?
Here.
Senator Trotter? Representative Tryon?
Total of 8 members answering the roll. A quorum is present. We'll proceed with our business. We have on the docket today 3 items for consideration, all under agenda item number 2, discussion and votes on the recommendations for closure of the Jacksonville Developmental Center, the Tinley Park Mental Health Center, and the Logan Correctional Center. We'll start with the Jacksonville Developmental Center first. And is there a motion to initiate discussion on this? Jacksonville. There's a motion on recommendation by Representative Nekritz. Is there a second? I'll second it. Discussion on the motion. If the clerk could please add Senator Trotter to the roll. And Representative Tryon. We've just had a motion which has been seconded on the recommendation to close Jacksonville Developmental Center. Is there any discussion? Representative Belloc.
Thank you very much. And I want to thank again everybody that was involved from Jacksonville in taking the tour. I think the tour by the CAGFA members really is an enlightening experience to actually see what is going on in the DD facility that was in Jacksonville. We appreciate all the rides around the whole place. And looking forward to it, I agree that we need to look at closing some of these institutions, but especially in the hearing that happened at Jacksonville, and I will again point to Kevin Casey when we asked him the directive, I'm not sure if it was at that hearing, about closures, and he felt that a closure could only be done in a year's time. So for 193 people at Jacksonville to move out of there within 16 weeks or whatever the time period was without really a good plan in place, I just do not feel that I could go forward in that respect. Thank you.
Is there any further discussion? And by the way, Representative Belloc and I did not plan our outfits for this morning. It's cute anyway. It's nice of you to say. Senator Severson.
In that same vein as Representative Belloc had mentioned, there may be a need for some transition. I know we have just recently received an outline plan from the administration. I think it's premature to jump into a plan today. And I think that most of us are willing to work both as this body here, but also the House and the Senate, and both parties are willing to sit down with the administration in developing a long-range plan that will be affordable, that will serve the needs of the residents, will address the concerns of staff, but we need to do that in a orderly way as opposed to something that becomes confrontational. And so I am going to oppose all of these closures at this point, and certainly are willing on behalf of at least the Republican Senate to work with all the parties in developing a transition plan or developing a funding plan to make sure that we resolve this in a proper manner. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Representative Nekritz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This doesn't give me, you know, the actions that and the votes that I took last time and the votes that I took that I'm going to be taking today really don't give me any pleasure. And it's not that I would not also like to see the luxury of time and a little bit more opportunity to do this in a more orderly and better fashion. But, you know, we are going to have troubles getting through this fiscal year, as we've heard. And I think it's one of the pension systems, I'm not sure whether it's SURS or SERS, that has already certified an additional $900 million increase for next year. So this is not going to get any easier. It's going to get more difficult. And the sooner we start to staunch some of the bleeding, I think the easier it will be for us in the long run.
Further discussion? Senator Frerichs.
I think the last time we met in this room, I had pointed out that I wanted to see more of a plan from the administration. I've seen a little bit of a plan now. I would like to see a whole lot more detail going forward. I'm not sure, as Representative Belloc said, that there's enough time that adequately transition in the 16 weeks or so that are out there. But at the same time, I would like to see the administration working on a longer-term plan to move some of the people out of institutions and into community-based group housing. That is my hope. I don't think we can do it with every person in the state. But I'm going to cast a vote in support of this to send the message that I would like to be working on that. But I don't want it to be construed as a message to shut down and make sure these people don't have care. So please be working on a plan.
Thank you. Is there any further discussion? Any further discussion? I want to make a comment on this then before we take a vote. And that is, in addition to there's no doubting the depth of commitment from the staff to serving the needs of the individuals who are at JDC. That is unmistakably clear. The comments that there is not sufficient time to make a transition or sufficient plan that's been proposed. We've seen a very constructive framework has been circulated by the administration. We've taken actions in the past which have approved closure conditional on other things happening. You may recall that we did that 3 years ago with Tinley Park. And the fact that those things did not happen is exactly why we have taken are considering for a second time today about Tinley Park. What strikes me about JDC, however, in contrast to Mabley, is that there is a very profound capital need just for deferred maintenance. The total deferred maintenance is estimated at over $102 million. There's a variation of opinion as to what the total costs might be as to the overall replacement cost for the campus itself. The physical plant, through no fault of anybody who works there or calls JDC their home, the physical plant there are buildings which are older than 100 years old, and therefore we need to do something to address just that. Putting a motion forward to recommend closure, I think would accelerate the discussions that are currently going on, and also make sure that we take other action beyond reappropriating money from one area of the budget to the other in order to cover a transition. So I'm going to vote in support of the motion for closure. Is there any further discussion? Will the clerk please call the roll? Oh, Representative McCarthy, you got lost. Sorry. Please add Representative McCarthy to the roll.
Chairwoman Bellick.
No.
Senator Frerichs.
Yes.
Representative McCarthy.
No.
Senator Murphy. Representative Nickritz. Representative Poe. Representative Riley.
No.
Senator Schmidt.
No.
Chairman Schoenberg.
Aye.
Senator Severson.
No.
Senator Trotter.
Aye.
Representative Tryon.
No.
Total of 4 members voting yes, 7 members voting no. The motion fails. Next on the agenda is the Tinley Park Mental Health Center. Is there a motion? Representative Nickritz.
Make a motion to recommend the closure of the Tinley Park Mental Health Center.
Is there a second? I'll second it. Discussion. Representative Bellick.
Thank you. The Tinley Park tour was probably one of the most enlightening of all the facilities because there's almost 300 acres there. I was anxious to find out what was going on because of the how vote that we took 2 years ago. So going in and so much closed around it, I thought, well, maybe this place can close. Then after we started hearing the statistics about, and people say, well, there's only 60 beds there. But 60 beds took care of 1,900 critical mentally ill people last year. So it's not the same as a DD facility. Those beds, 60 in a year, took care of 1,900 crisis mental health people. Afterwards, at the hearing, when 3 or 4 hours into the hearing, the most compelling testimony to me was the head of the Psychiatric Association and 2 other doctors who gave their testimony that they felt that this would decimate the mental health system for critically mentally ill people in Northern Illinois at this time when they reiterated that there was no accurate plan in place. They also brought up the closure of some form of beds at Reed, and I know Dr. Stone testified on that as that they were going to be there for long term, and I'm not a professional in that field, so I'm not quite sure of what that was getting rid of at Reed, but it joined into my viewpoint on how essential at this time period until we can close that facility and have a plan, a comprehensive plan in place that will still keep our already broken mental health system in Northern Illinois in place.
Thank you. Senator Trotter.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, and audience. I, too, oppose the closing of Tinley Park at this time. Not only the closure of it going forward, but to stop the slips that are actually being passed out as we speak. In looking at not only the structure of all of our institutions, The key thing has always been capacity. What are we going to do as far as building capacity in the communities? Just last week, Mayor Emanuel said that he was closing 13 mental health clinics in the city of Chicago, which just exasperates already horrendous situation in Northern Illinois and in the county of Cook. So on those merits or lack of merits, I certainly am opposed adamantly about the closing of opposed to the closing of Tinley Park.
Thank you. Representative McCarthy.
Thank you, Chairman. I just wanted to speak along with Senator Trotter and opposing the closing, and I represent the area where the mental health center is, but since we had the hearing and I've tried to reach out, I unfortunately had a visit to
a emergency room in my area just last Wednesday night, and they told me about the need for this thing in our area. And plus, we went through hearings 4 or 5 years ago where, under the leadership of Senator Crotty, I mean, we were told that, and we told them we're okay with closing because it's a gigantic facility and we wonder, the space needs are really not there. But at that point, Senator Crotty was very instrumental in getting a commitment that there would be a place in the south suburbs, because, I mean, I know those of the downstate representatives think, well, this other place is 20 miles away, and 20 miles means 15 minutes. Well, 20 miles to go from 183rd Street up to 3400 North in Chicago is, you know, 3 or 4 hours if you try to do it during, you know, traffic time. So, and I wasn't as aware as I probably should have been to the need for, you know, some help there, and that the local municipalities and the local hospitals, you know, talked about the people who sat in their emergency rooms waiting for a spot over in Tinley Park. So I certainly don't think we need the great space that's there and everything, but we certainly cannot say that people are going to be well served if they have to go from Kankakee County to 3400 North at the Reed Center in Chicago, because, I mean, I don't know how you'd even find a way of getting there, truthfully, at any kind of a traffic time. But we certainly have the need, and as Chairperson Bellock pointed out, those, you know, 30 or 40 people there at one time, that's not the same census as you do at a DD center. And so I appreciated her comments. And we need something in the south suburbs. And I mean, I voted for the closing of Howe, and I understand that. And I think all of these closings, one of the things is the preparation and the time that's spent to do them correctly. I think all the members of this commission would be probably be more open to some of these closings if they were done in a way that would make sense to all of us. And I know there was testimony under the Jacksonville one that it would take at least a year to do it, and we give him 90 days. So, but we need something in the south suburbs, and I think, and I don't speak for Senator Crotty, but you know, her commitment to our area years ago that they would have something to replace it, I think is still meaningful today, and I applaud her for coming out to the hearing and making that point very strongly, because we need something in that south suburbs, because it served us well, and hopefully it'll be there in the future. So thank you.
Representative Riley, then does anybody else wish to be recognized? Okay, Representative Riley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would agree with Representative McCarthy. My district is right across the street, on the other side of Harlem. But Tinley Park is a facility that represents the entire Southland region, 750,000 people. A lot of things were said with regard to looking at numbers, and then some things pointed to the clarity that observation and empiricism give. But when I went out there, I saw something different, and that's been said. And that's the key. That's the key to the clarity that these visits that we've had to these institutions gave some of us. When you actually saw, when you actually talked to people, you saw something totally different. You didn't see bedlam. You didn't see one flew over the cuckoo's nest. You saw people being served. And no matter what side you come down on it, you got to admit that. Saw people being served by trained individuals. So much of what we've been talking about, you know, we'll say one particular thing, but you know, they're proxies for something else. Because one person's deferred maintenance may be somebody else's benign neglect over the years. I think we can't play around. We cannot play around with these decisions. Everybody's got a tough job. The administration, DHS, the government, tough job. We have a tough job. Everybody's got a tough job. But we have to do something with these seemingly intractable situations. If we're the ones that are charged to do it, can't make knee-jerk reactions. We need to improve, and we need to maintain an efficient delivery system for MHNDD people out in the South, all over the state, but certainly out in the South suburbs. Folks were promised a new facility somewhere out in the South suburbs. Now, whether that was feasible when it was said, whether it was feasible now, doesn't matter. It was promised that a lot of people remember that. They're not necessarily going to go to you and say, where is it? They're going to come to me and say, what happened? What didn't you do? It's a very tough decision, but I'm going to vote to keep Tinley Park open. Tinley Park is an institution out in the South suburbs, and they're doing something. Many other ancillary institutions say the capacity isn't there. Hospitals are saying, we can't handle it. It's my responsibility to tell everyone that, but also to participate in a meaningful plan going forward to be sure that those services are provided for these vulnerable populations.
Is there any further discussion? Well, I just want to say that I'm going to vote in support of closure for Tinley Park, but the administration almost lost me when they sent out the pink slips before this hearing. I understand what the requirements are. I would have liked to see some flexibility on their side as well before they took that action, because it obviously reframes the relationship that this commission has with the administration as far as the recommendations. So in other words, I think they should have waited to send out, adjusted their own time frame to hold off on giving notice to the employees at Tinley Park until this hearing took place today. Will clerk please call the roll?
Chairwoman Bellick. No. Senator Frerichs. Representative McCarthy. No. Senator Murphy. Representative Nekritz. Representative Poe. No. Representative Riley. No. Senator Schmidt.
No.
Chairman Schoenberg.
Aye.
Senator Severson.
No.
Senator Trotter. No. Representative Tryon. No.
Two yes, nine no. Motion fails. Logan Correctional Center.
To keep my record consistent, I will make the motion to close the Logan Correctional Center.
Is there a second? Seconded by Senator Trotter. Discussion? Representative Tryon.
I think when I look back at the process and the two facilities that stuck out the most as being fully, nearly occupied and very much, I think, managed very well were, not that the others weren't, but Chester and Logan. When I looked at the plan to actually close Logan, and it was to move the prisoners into gymnasiums of some of our other facilities, that plan, to me, would be a mistake to implement. Clearly, there is such a need for such secure detention all over the Midwest, that for us to close a facility just doesn't make sense. We have vacancies in some of our youth centers that I think we could utilize better to stop overcrowding and maybe convert those facilities. But clearly, these two are, at least Logan, I don't see how you could possibly close Logan. I'll be voting in support of keeping it open.
Is there any further discussion? Representative Bellick.
Thank you. Just to build on what Representative Tryon said, in the testimony at Logan, the head of the prison, I'm not sure if it's the prison system or the prison there, said himself that he would not want to close that prison, and we respected his comments on that. We also followed up with some questions about, again, the plan in place as to where to move the prisoners to. It was quite troublesome when one of the officials commented that when this had been done in the past in another prison several years ago, and they put them in the gymnasiums, that was followed by a riot because the prisoners had no place to recreate, and then those that were on good time or whatever that were supposed to be getting out within a couple of weeks ended up spending another year because they got involved in the riot. So again, because of the hearings and the comments, it's affected our decisions. Thank you.
Any further discussion? I don't even know why this is on the list. The idea that prisoners would be sleeping in gymnasiums and group housing defies imagination. That's my comment on it. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Chairwoman Bellick? Senator Frerichs?
No.
Representative McCarthy?
No.
Senator Murphy? Representative Nekritz? Representative Poe? Representative Riley?
No.
Senator Schmidt?
No.
Chairman Schoenberg?
No.
Senator Severson?
No.
Senator Trotter? Representative Tryon?
No.
Total of 2 yes, 9 no, none voting present. The motion fails. There's been a request so item 2 on the agenda is completed. We have a couple of minutes before the Senate's scheduled to go in. The administration's has requested the opportunity to briefly comment on their proposed rebalancing initiative. Has anybody so? Michael Gelder, if you want to come forward and briefly summarize the progress to date.
Good morning. I'm Michael Gelder, Governor Quinn's senior health policy advisor, and I thank you all for your all the time and attention energy and commitment that you've demonstrated through your weeks of consideration. We're disappointed in the outcome because we are faced with the problem that you so well articulate of having to rush to make some very unfortunate decisions. But the cause of that, of course, was the fact that we didn't have appropriation authority to keep the facilities open. And so we will continue to work with this commission as well as the other members of the General Assembly, appropriation chairs, as appropriations increase, we will be able to maintain the facilities during the course of this year. That is our goal. I hear that is your goal as well. But you have asked on many of the at many of the hearings, do we have a plan? What would we do if we didn't have this budget crisis? What would we want to do from a programmatic and from a policy perspective if we had the funding to keep the facilities open throughout fiscal year 12? And so we responded to that with a fairly brief outline of a plan called we've distributed to leaders and to the appropriation chairs, and I hope that you have them as well. If not, we'll certainly make it available. It says at the top, Governor Quinn's Rebalancing Initiative, November 2011. And in summary, we are committing here to the steady, sustained, a transition of residents from developmental disability centers to state-operated centers throughout the state over the next 2.5 years that would amount to 600 people being transitioned from our state-operated facilities to smaller residential community-based settings over that period. And that would, with 600 people having moved based on transition plans, based on assessments and then transition plans appropriate for their assessments and the desire and opportunity to move into community settings, that would allow us to close up to 4 facilities over the next 2.5 years. So through this plan would take us through June of 2014. On the mental health side, we would be in an orderly process to work with local providers, identify resources locally, and to close two of the state psychiatric hospitals by the end of fiscal year 14. That would be the minimum. We think we could do more with that planned, thoughtful approach, working with local hospitals and working with other community-based service providers to prevent the emergency psychiatric admissions that are now treated in our state centers. But prevention, treatment, recovery should reduce the need for at least two of those hospitals by the end of 2014. So we're prepared to move ahead. There are pressures on us from other members of the General Assembly, other settings when these issues are described, to balance our budget, to spend less. We would rather spend less on maintenance of institutions and more on the people who are served in those. So we will move ahead with a planned, thoughtful approach, stopping admissions, initiating the assessments, and completing care plans and transition plans that will enable us to serve and meet the needs of the people that we all want to meet, wherever they are in the state, but do so in a thoughtful and considerate way, if we have the funding to keep these facilities open during the rest of fiscal year 12. So I'd be happy to answer any questions. I know you have a short time frame today, but I did want you to know that we were listening to all of your concerns. You asked for a plan. We have put together a plan. It's the structure. We will work with the General Assembly and this forum and other fora to try to develop identify the facilities and to prioritize those facilities. Not everybody's going to agree, but we do want to learn your sense so that we can accomplish this in a way that is consistent with what your objectives are.
Thank you. Senator Trotter, Representative Poe, Representative Tryon, and Co-Chair Bellick. And then I think we have to wrap it up because the Senate's going in.
Thank you, sir. I guess I missed it, or if you said it, are you going to rescind the notices that you've already sent out to Tinley Park residents or employees?
We can't rescind anything until we know what our funding level is going to be for fiscal year 12. Our actions to date have been based on the appropriations that the General Assembly gave us at the end of May. We are still at this moment with those appropriation levels. So given a higher appropriation authority, we would rescind those.
And what would be the time frame for you to do that? I understand there's supposed to be layoffs as early as December 1st.
Well, so we would do those as soon as we have the authority to spend
today,
the money to keep them open. So if that was going to pass today, we would be able to move on that today, since you've now delayed the resolution of the budget issues and the vote on the reallocation. We will have to wait until that law is in effect, and then we'll make those rescissions of whatever they're legally called.
Whatever they're legally called. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you, Representative Poe.
Yeah, just quickly, you mentioned when you were making your statement, you said stop admissions. Is that going to be immediately?
No, I mean, nothing is immediate until we've concluded the session of the General Assembly, from which we'll know how much money we can legally spend on keeping the facilities open. But what we would want to do once we work with the General Assembly and identify the facilities is stop admissions, because if we're going to be offering to move people out and working on care plans, it would make sense to not bring more people into the facility that we're working on moving towards closure over the next 2.5 years.
Is this going to be totally an internally working group, or are you going to try to get input from different?
We're going to get input from the public. I already met with a group of 40 parents with children at Jacksonville and Mabley and other of the state developmental centers. We've committed to working with them on this process. We're working with the appropriation chairs and other members of the General Assembly. Of course, the commission here has an important role. So we'll try to get as broad participation and input from all of you who are interested in working on this. And you know, the senators and representatives have all said they would like to work on a plan, and so we are committing ourselves to working with you. It would have to be done, you know, we still have an urgency. There's the fiscal year 13 budget that, you know, will be announced, the governor's request in February, so we need to have this pretty well wrapped up by then in terms of what our order of priority would be in addressing the issue of these institutions.
And I should know this, but I don't. What is, you mentioned 600 moving into the community setting. What's our total?
A total in SRD
system right now
is about 2,000.
So you're basically saying that there's a certain percentage we can move out of the community, but yet there's a percentage that still has to be.
There's
in
a
our
percentage
facilities.
That would still be as the majority would still be in facilities at the end of this plan, because we know that we have the capability, a limited capability of moving people on in that thoughtful way that you have all expressed. And we share the
Thank
desire.
You.
That would be at the rate of, I could give you, I mean, the rate would be about 20 per month that we think we could handle responsibly over the next 2.5 years.
Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Tryon, Representative Nekritz, Representative Bellick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm not familiar with our collecting bargaining contract, but I have read and understood it to be a contract that was signed that said there would be no reduction in staff until after the year 2012. What kind of challenges is this going to present if you're going to riff staff at Tinley Park prior to the contract? Is this still going to, is the reduction in force going to come after the contract expires, or? How are you going to meet
that? Well, yes, it is our hope that there will be adequate funding in through the reallocation negotiations that are underway, about which we'll be reading today, I'm sure, and that would give us enough money to keep the facility open. With the facility open, we'll be able to retain the staff. But we can't pay the staff if we don't have the money. We're just acting responsibly in that fashion. It may seem irresponsible to those of you who care about a particular facility, but we also can't pay the money because the comptroller won't write checks after a certain date without the adequate appropriation.
Well, I assume the governor is also looking at other places that he can propose to move money around from what we've already considered. I understand that there's some discussions going on regarding that. I mean, I think it's unfortunate to actually put out pink slips if our desire is to really keep that open. I mean, that seems more.
I don't disagree. There are lots of laws that govern the collective bargaining process and the and our appropriation authority, and we have to we try to follow all of those that we can. And in the end, the appropriation measures trump other commitments because we can't pay money to providers or vendors or employees that we don't have the authority to spend. And that's the only reason that we've moved in that direction.
The on the developmental disability centers, I understand Jacksonville, and it was obvious in the tour, presents some challenges just from the age of the building and maybe the lack of commitment that we've had in maintaining some of those facilities. But certainly, Mabley is already, in my opinion, a group home environment where you have a campus setting with group homes, and I think it's a shame that we wouldn't utilize it. We have private sector providers that have group homes that look pretty very much similar to what you might see in Mabley, and to close that facility, I think is a mistake. I think before we even would think about doing that, we would maybe look at bringing in private providers, asking some of the larger providers if they would be willing to manage one or two of those group homes and keep some of the services where we provide therapeutical services open and maybe managed by the state, but look at some kind of public-private partnership. Are you looking at that for Mabley?
We will re-examine the facilities that we had submitted to you in September if we have the appropriation authority to continue operating them through the end of this fiscal year. And so, yes, I think there's a lot of interest on our part, and certainly we share the same observations you do about the various facilities. Some are quite old, some are in much better shape, and we would want, and we list the criteria in this document here about how we would, that we would take into consideration and would urge you to take into consideration as we work together over the next several weeks to identify the facilities that would be on which we would focus in helping people transition to community-based settings. So yes, Mabley is not necessarily the one that we would want to close first. That was one of the ones we had to close, we felt, given the appropriation authority, but not necessarily one that would have to be on that on the top of the list as we move forward in a more thoughtful way.
Well, I would hope that that would maybe the model is one that we would explore, a private-public partnership, if that before we would close that.
Good. Well, thank you. We will certainly consider that, and you know the competing interests when we talk about privatizing, that there are concerns about that from various sectors of our society.
Right. Well, maybe that's something that would come up in the next contract negotiations as well. But also, I will reiterate my opinion that there is a need for secure detention, and I said this in Murfreesboro. I think we had a conversation about the fact that Murfreesboro would be, I think, a facility that we could look at perhaps approaching INS as making it a detainment center. I mean, we have a couple in the suburbs. You know, I mean, they now transport people back and forth from Mexico from adjudication, and in Chicago, and in the courts. My understanding is you have to adjudicate at the point of entry, and certainly U.S. Marshals also have been contracting with some of our local county jails and are in need of secure detention. And I would hope that prior to closing that facility and just keeping it mothballs, we would look at the possibility of different uses for that. And I don't know if that's something you would be aware of.
That doesn't fall within my area of expertise as the health policy advisor, but we certainly will take all of the, if we have the resources to keep facilities open, we will examine alternative uses and alternative structures and whatever the General Assembly wishes. It has to be done very quickly because fiscal year 13 will be upon us shortly, but we will work with you and others
We have counties that have actually expanded their jails and are housing as many as 300 detainees on any given day, and are being paid, and the costs are totally being recovered at the expense of the INS or the U.S. Marshals. So I think it merits looking into it. I'm not saying it's possible, but certainly it's a potential solution.
Well, good. We'll speak to you specifically about that and add that to the list.
Representative Bellock, Representative Nekritz.
Thank you very much. I just wanted to personally say thank you again to Secretary Sadler and Director Jones and their whole staff, and to the CAGFA staff, the administration, and especially to the CAGFA members who traveled all over the state with not much preparation in the last couple of weeks to really go to the hearings and listen to the voices of the people. And I think this is one of the only silver linings to come out of our fiscal crisis, is that this is not going to go away. And I think the administration has made a commitment that we asked them after the last meeting, that we want to make sure we do deinstitutionalize Illinois and that rebalance the system, but that we want to do it in a careful, comprehensive way over the next couple of years. And as I said, I'm committed to do that. I think another good thing is that besides the 12 members of CAGFA, at all those hearings, the local legislators were there. So now you have 35 or 40 legislators who are familiar with this process in Illinois of the institutionalization and are ready to move forward with the administration on this in a serious way. This will not go away. Thank you.
Representative Nekritz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would just wanted to, no disrespect to you, Mr. Chairman, but to give a special thank you to Chairwoman Bellock for attending every minute of every hearing. And it was in a lot of ways a difficult and challenging process. And Representative Bellock, I thought showed a special dedication to making sure that every voice was heard and that everyone got their say. I also just wanted to also echo your remarks. It was a big thank you to the staff. It was a strain and a burden in a very short time frame to put all this together, not only to coordinate the hearings, but to put together the materials and to assist us in the work. So a very special thank you to all the staff as well.
Thank you. Representative McCarthy.
Well, thank you, Chairpersons. And I really just want to thank you for your comments and your willingness to work with us. And I'm sorry that the way these things have developed. And I also want to point out to the department that the closing of Howe was the first vote I ever took when I was appointed to this commission. And you've done a wonderful job in the closing. And I mean, it was almost a two-year process, maybe closer to 1 year. But I do want to thank you for that. It was done in a very constructive way. And even the parents that were most opposed to it at the end, I think, are pretty supportive today. So I think that the department, you know, just because the votes went against you here, we're not completely against it, but there's a right way to close these places and a wrong way to do it. And I thought this was the wrong way. And I say, well, I voted to close my own, but I voted to keep Representative Watson's open, and that means Representative Watson did a better job than I did as far as describing the need for it. But truthfully,
won't be the last time either, I'm sure.
But as I say, as we go forward, I mean, I think our no votes doesn't mean we don't want to work with you. We do understand it, and there's a lot of great groups out there who've talked the fact that we are over institutionalized in our state, and we understand that, and we want to move forward. But if we can do it in a more thoughtful way, we certainly are out there and willing to work with you. So thank you for your earlier comments, and I look forward to working with you and not have these emergency type things come up. So thanks.
Thank you very much. I share exactly what you said.
Thank you. Before we wrap it up, I'd like to make one closing comment. I want to echo what Representative Belloc and Representative Nekritz and the others on the commission have said about where we need to go moving forward. As there is the distinct possibility that we will be returning prior to the Thanksgiving holiday, I know that the administration has very smart lawyers telling them that they had to send out those pink slips. I'm sure there are even smarter lawyers, given the progress that's been made, who can give you even more compelling legal proof as to why the administration should go take those pink slips out of people's mailboxes before the holidays, given the progress that we've been making. If there's no further business before the commission.
Could you thank Elaine for being the timekeeper?
Oh, yes. How could I forget? Elaine, great job on the timekeeper thing. And thanks for not cutting me off once. Commission now stands adjourned.